Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh!
Let him play!
He wins. Great steak. Smells like poop.
Honestly, like, if Urban Meyer wants to come to Connecticut, bring him on. I mean, come on. I'll take him, too.
Nia Jackson, I think, weighs 280 pounds.
Oh!
Can we isolate that clip? Nia Jackson weighs 280 pounds. Oh!
Let her play.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for Super Bowl week 2020. Good to have you with us from the Dave in the City studios in sunny Southern California. This is part one of three of our Super Bowl series here on the program. We'll start with our matchup preview, then we'll do a little bit of perspective on Miami as a host site. That's in our next podcast, Super Bowl week part two, 2020. And then we have the prop bet show tomorrow. That will be part three. And that should feature our guy Kevin on the Cape and Tom in Virginia for all the props as we've been doing for about a decade now on this program. So let's start. We have our matchup coming up. It will be the 49ers on one side. It'll be the Chiefs on the other side. And joining us to break it all down, our friend John in Connecticut. Let's do it. On to Super Bowl 54. I'm losing track of all these. I think that's right. I think it's Super Bowl 54. There have been so many Super Bowls played. When I was young, I mean, we were in the teens. So when I was really young, when I was a baby. But now we have this one in the 50s. And let's bring in John. John, good to have you with us. How's it going tonight?
Hey, Dave. Thanks for having me back on. Yeah, I mean... I remember it was like crazy growing up. Oh my God, Super Bowl 35, and like here we are, 54. It's crazy. Like, I wonder if the NFL will be around to get to 100. We'll see down the road about that. But yeah, it should be a great game, and good to be on to talk a little bit about it.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of an interesting question. The way you put it was really, really fascinating. But just a more general question: do you think that they'll eventually go to like Arabic numbers permanently? Because they did it for 50, but it seems like they should, because I'm losing track of all these letters. Like, I can't, you know, ascertain as to which one is which anymore.
Well, the L is 50 for like Roman numerals, right? So that's what they've been using lately.
Right.
But this year is L1V, so next year will be L5. I guess they could start. What's for 100? Is it C? I'm not exactly sure what it is.
Yeah, it would be C.
Yeah, so maybe they'll start. Yeah, they'll start using C's when they get to 100. So I guess, you know, if we're around to see it, we can see how they do a logo. Like, you know, 99 will be like X1C. I have no idea. Who knows?
Yeah, what would that be like? XCX. I don't even. Yeah, let's get on to business. So first, let's talk about the road to the Super Bowl. We covered a lot of the playoffs already in our last podcast. And so what we'll do is we'll cover the two championship games. And we'll start with the AFC game. I'll provide a quick summary. In the first game, the Titans went up by like two touchdowns, basically. I think they were up like 16-0. And no, wait, let me double check that. Maybe not. But they were up 10-0, I think, early on in the game. And Kansas City just roared back, and they went on to win 35-24. And their defense against Derrick Henry actually wound up being really good. They were just throwing everybody at him, and they slowed him down. In the second game, the 49ers were just too much with Raheem Mostert and the running game. They were incredibly dominant running the ball against the Green Bay Packers, and they won going away 37-20. It was such a big effort on the running game for San Francisco that Garoppolo only threw the ball 8 times and completed it 6 of the 8 times. Only 8 throws in an NFC championship game. That's pretty crazy. So, John, let's get your recap of the championship round action.
Yeah, all right, we'll take it in order. So we'll start with the AFC. And, you know, we talked about before the game how the Titans would want to play that. They'd want to get ahead with the lead so they can – you know, run Henry and kind of do what they did in the first two playoff games. And that's exactly how the game played out in the first quarter. And the really for the part of the first half, it could not have gone any better for the Titans. They got a lead and they would figure, okay, now they're going to just use Henry and just control the clock, keep Mahomes off the field. And it's going to be the same kind of story as in the first two playoff games. I think they were up 17-7. And the magic kind of ran out. The key possession was after the Chiefs finally got their offense going a little bit to make it 17-14, the Titans got the ball back with, I want to say 5 minutes left and a half. And if they could have run some clock there and may not even gotten a score, but at least ran enough clock where the Chiefs didn't have time to get on the field for a touchdown and still been ahead or tied at half, I think the game maybe could have been a little different, but they went three and out, and then the Chiefs go right down the field and take the lead before halftime. And that was huge because then they get the ball again coming out of the second half, and, of course, they double dip just like they did against the Texans, and they come down and score a touchdown. And that was essentially over because the Titans were just not built to come back from an 11-point deficit, and you know, they end up losing the game. But you got to give them credit. We don't really expected them to make that kind of run, and they certainly gave it their best effort, but it was just tough for them once they got behind like that. And the Chiefs, again, with another slow start and just really turned their offense on in the second quarter and going forward. And that run in the third quarter when Mahomes like dodges three guys on the sidelines and then takes it in for a touchdown, that was pretty pretty thrilling play, and essentially what sealed the game at that point. You knew the Chiefs were going to win. You know, the Titans made it a little bit more interesting, especially from a potential spread perspective. But you know, the Chiefs ended up making Mahomes made that long pass to really put it away, and they advanced to the Super Bowl. So two comeback wins at home for the Chiefs to get to Miami, and then the Niners and Packers. Obviously, as a Green Bay fan, very disappointed in how the game played out. If you had told me before the game that Garoppolo was going to throw the ball eight times, I would have thought for sure that he would have been knocked out of the game. I did not envision that scenario playing out where it was literally the exact same thing as the first game when they played in November, maybe even a little worse because, you know, at least in that game, the Packers got beat down the field with some passing to Samuel and Kittle. This, like you said, Dave, Mostert just ran crazy. I don't understand why there weren't any adjustments made by the defense after the first quarter when it was clearly they were just using Kittle and their other tight ends to block. And it was just, you know, a big front and the Packers couldn't do anything. At that point, in my opinion, they should have just, you know, let Garoppolo beat you at that point. Just stack the box and force him to throw. Just continuously let Mostert and their running game just maul you down the field. It was just terrible. And it was very disappointing first half. It was 27-0, I believe, or 23-0. It was 23-0. I think it was 27. Yeah, it was 27-0. It was just hideous. And then the Packers finally got their offense going in the second half. I mean, Rodgers, I mean, say what you want, garbage time, whatever, but finally had some success throwing the ball. You thought for maybe just a second, maybe there could have been a little bit of juice. Once they get it to 34-21 with 8 minutes left, I said to myself, okay, it's 8 minutes. You need two touchdowns. You just got to get one stop on defense to make this interesting. And, of course, the Niners take like 6 minutes off the clock and go down the field and get a field goal. And that was essentially the real end of the game at that point. So very disappointing in how the game played out. But if you had told me before the year the Packers would be 13-3 with a chance to go to the Super Bowl, I definitely would have taken it. And the window is not closed for their team. You know, Aaron Rodgers is not the elite player that he was, say, 4 or 5 years ago, but he's still one of the best 10 quarterbacks in the league, and you can definitely win with him. And they just got to bolster their defense. Inside linebacker, as you saw, is a major need. Blake Martinez, they should not assign him. I don't think he has enough speed to play in today's game. So they need an inside linebacker. They need another receiver. Adams just can't do it all himself. And, you know, Rodgers kind of locks onto him a lot, which is not good. So they just spread that around a little bit more. So a second receiver, inside linebacker, will be my primary targets. besides that, the team is pretty well built. So I think the window is definitely not closed. I think they have at least two or three more years left of Aaron Rodgers potentially winning them a Super Bowl. But, you got to give credit to the Niners. They had a great game plan. They executed it, and they certainly deserve the trip to Miami to set up a pretty interesting matchup next week, or this Sunday, rather.
Yeah, it really is coming up. It's funny. I just kind of just you look, and then, oh, here it is, almost about to start. So we go to Miami, and we check out a couple of teams that I think a lot of people wanted to see in this game. The Niners certainly were a very fun team to watch all year. Their defense started off the season really, really well. But then they lost guys. They lost, I think they lost Tart, and then Quan Alexander was not in the mix, and Ford was the big one. Like, when they were losing him, they were very vulnerable on defense. And now they have those guys back, so I think they're going to possess a very interesting threat. But I've been talking with my 49er friends. We'll talk to one of them later tonight in our second part of the part two podcast, that would be Coach. But they were saying that they're pretty much conceding that the Chiefs are going to score points in this game. So I'm going to give it to you for initial thoughts, because we can really wing it and just talk about this game. I mean, where do you see both teams going into this matchup with the Niners and the Chiefs for Super Bowl 54?
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about it for the strategy to play against the Chiefs is to run the ball and keep their offense off the field. And, you know, the Titans, like we said, had a good game plan. They executed it only for one quarter, whereas I think the Niners might be able to execute that more the entire game, as clearly they have a dominant rushing attack. And the Chiefs' defense, for what it's worth, I mean, it's definitely improved compared to last year, but their weakness is against the run. They can kind of do a lot of different schemes to play coverage and whatnot in the passing game, but, that's a comment that Collinsworth had mentioned on one of the Sunday night games, or they can kind of scheme things up to play against the pass, but their run defense is a little weak. And if the Niners can get that going again and then keep Mahomes off the field, then that's just a huge advantage for them. On the flip side, if they kind of struggle with that and they're not able to really put up any points, and then it all falls on Garoppolo to get their offense going, I kind of like the Chiefs odds in that scenario. Now on the other side of the ball, when Kansas City has it, you're right, Dave. The Niners really struggled kind of towards the second. I would say weeks 10 through 15 with injuries, and they got exposed a little bit. But obviously, they were missing key players. Their front four and their defensive line is just unbelievable. So if they need to get pressure on Mahomes, because he's athletic, he's mobile, but he's not Lamar Jackson. He's not going to be breaking off 20-yard runs every other play. That run he had against Tennessee was awesome, but he's not going to be doing that every play. So he's more of a statuesque kind of quarterback. I'm not saying he can't move, but compared to some quarterbacks, if the Niners can get some pressure on him and kind of force him off his spot, that's going to be huge for them. The one game this year that I remember him, Mahomes, really struggling, it was that game against the Colts that they lost. They were like two touchdown favorites. And the Colts played a lot of zone coverage, I remember. And they just kind of rushed for and sat back and just kind of blocked the passing lanes. And that's how they won that game. So I just remember Mahomes just having all kinds of time, just couldn't find anybody. So I guess another option too, but if I were defensive coordinator, I mean, you got to try to pressure him, I think, because if you give him time, you've seen like Kelce just find a spot in zones, and Hill is like the perfect zone buster. He's just going to run right by you. So I think that the Chiefs, if they want to be successful in this game, I think they're going to have to throw the ball around. You saw it in the second half with Rodgers. He was really getting into a rhythm with kind of a short passing game, just kind of thinking and dunking down the field. And I know the Chiefs are a little more explosive than the Packers offense, obviously, but I think you kind of got to take what the defense gives you against the 49ers, because their rush is going to get there, and you have to just kind of get it off before Bosa and all those guys get after the quarterback. So it's kind of a strength on strength game, really, when you look at it. I mean, the Niners are great at getting after the quarterback, and the Chiefs are great at throwing the ball. So those are two strengths. And on the other side of the ball, like I mentioned, the Niners' great run offense. And I guess that's the one advantage that they do have is against the Chiefs' kind of weak run defense, like I said. And in terms of special teams, I think both kickers are about even. Coaching, it's a tough call. If you said to me who's going to out-scheme who, Reed obviously has years and years of more experience than Shanahan, but Shanahan has proved himself to be one of the more innovative and dynamic play callers in the NFL. So I think maybe just for experience sake, I would say Reed, just because he's been to a Super Bowl and had so many more big games. And obviously Shanahan had the disaster at Atlanta when he was calling plays against the Patriots in that Super Bowl where they had just run the ball up 28-3 or at the end of the game there and kicked a field goal, they would have won. But so I think he kind of learned definitely from that game. But I would lean Reed slightly for the coaching edge, but I'm not denigrating Shanahan at all. I think he's turning into one of the better coaches in the NFL. So, those are kind of my initial thoughts on how it could play out. So interested to hear your takes, Dave, on kind of the initial thoughts on the matchup.
Yeah, I agree with you in the coaching. I think you really could go either way. Both guys have demonstrated ways to prepare for a game. They seem to always come in pretty well prepared for the most part. The only thing I would say about Kansas City is that I don't think they can get away with a slow start like they've had those previous two games. I think if you do that, you are going to fall behind by a lot because you're talking about offenses that are certainly more potent. Definitely in the case of San Francisco over Tennessee. And that's with Derrick Henry being as great as he is. I mean, he was really playing great. I think before I start on my own preview, I wanted to ask you about how the Chiefs slowed him down, because you're right, after the first quarter, he really wasn't doing much at all. Like, he didn't even get 90 rushing yards in that game in a season where he'd been killing everybody. So the Chiefs had certainly done something. And I wondered what you saw that keyed to their success defending him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if, I'm not going to point to anything like technically or schemes or coverages that they did, because I'm honestly not that, well-versed in specific maybe plays or coverages that they ran. I'd have to read more into the footage, but it just felt like whatever they did, the game flipped around where they just kind of stopped him on that one drive, like I mentioned, mm-hmm. and then the momentum just shifted and they couldn't really rely on him,
right?
Because they knew that they were going to have to pass the ball a little more, and that kind of took away the effectiveness of the Titans. They just couldn't line up and run the ball, basically. So I guess that's kind of my answer to that. Is just kind of the momentum of the game shifted, and Tennessee kind of got away from that game plan, basically, and the Chiefs were ready for it.
True, they were very ready for it. And I think the one thing, just to your point, once you got into, like mid-third quarter, the Titans were getting desperate and they barely ran the ball. Like, because once you fall behind to the Chiefs, you can feel the pressure because you know how quickly they can score. So they abandoned the run very, very quickly, they didn't even run hardly at all in the fourth quarter. That did help them cut the lead a bit, for, as you mentioned, for point spread purposes, but the fact is, once they fell behind, and everybody knew this was going to happen, like, if they were to fall behind, they can't just keep running Henry because they'd run out of time. So they had to get more creative, and they did, and credit to Vrabel for trying to try to mix it up later. But it also meant that Henry couldn't really get off. So I think that's actually a good point, because ultimately, the fact that they lost the lead as fast as they did led them to change up their game plan, which is, generally a good coaching move, but it also results in Henry not having many opportunities. So, yeah, that all makes sense. Okay, so let's get to my brief overlook of the game. This is a tough one. This is a tough one for me to predict. I think first of all, I think if you're talking about which quarterback can handle a Super Bowl scenario better, you don't know because neither one's tried it, but just from what I remember of Patrick Mahomes up to now and Garoppolo up to now, I'd probably give the edge to Mahomes, but not by a lot. I think that Garoppolo's faced a number of challenges this year. a good example of that was when they were playing the Saints, and he needed to be great in order to beat the Saints, and they did. And, you know, a lot of that was also the work of George Kittle, who, by the way, I don't remember him doing a whole lot in those other two games in the playoffs. But the good thing for the Niners is they didn't need to. So there's a lot of unknowns as to what the 49ers will bring on offense this coming weekend, because they didn't really need to use it. But I do have confidence in Shanahan, to your point, John, that he will have some ideas. And I think they're not going to just run the ball like they had been the previous two games, because they know that Kansas City is not going to be silly enough to just get pounded by the run and, you know, not figure out ways to slow it down. And same scenario on defense. I'm sure that they can't just, you know, they can't just bottle up, you know, Williams and then hope they're going to get away with that. Like, no, I'm sure there's so many things going on with the Chiefs offense that it would be a significant challenge. So from that onset, you think that it's going to be a high scoring game. And yet I don't think it is. I think you're talking about some young players on both sides of the ball. And what I see happening is it's going to take a while for them to feel out the game. And I think it's going to be a slow start. Like, I think you're going to see some punts in the beginning of the game. You know, just purely an instinctual prediction on my part. But then, as you get into the third quarter, I think things really start to pick up. You'll be seeing the teams trading touchdowns. But I do think that one late score in the end will be the decision maker for the Chiefs and what they bring. Like you said, so many receiver options. And I think late in games, the 49ers have been prone to giving up big plays. And when you got guys like Tyreek Hill, when you got guys like Travis Kelce, and when even Damian Williams, these guys can make big plays. And I think that they'll be a significant challenge for what has been a pretty good solid defense most of the year. So, but then on the other side, it's not like the Chiefs were playing great defense anyway. Like, I think that they did what they, I mean, their defense has been better, but I just, like you said, the run defense has been poor. Like, I think when you have a one-dimensional team like the Titans, you know, they played great, but still, once they're challenged to throw the ball, they don't have a lot of answers. None of those receivers scare you, right? Like, whether it was, forgot his name already, but whatever, what Gentis.
Emmanuel Sanders and Deebo Samuel, those were their main.
Oh, no, I mean, the Niners guy. I was talking about the Titans receivers. Like,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I honestly don't even know.
Yeah, oh, right? So
AJ Brown is their main receiver.
Oh, okay, yeah, AJ Brown, right? And then
Corey Davis.
Yeah, Corey
and
Davis.
And then Adam Humphries, maybe? That's about it.
Yeah, see, that's just it. I mean, so none of those guys really scare you when they're downfield. The 49ers, on the other hand, they have Samuel, they have Sanders, they have, we mentioned Kittle. I mean, these are guys that can make plays, and so it's going to be a significant challenge for the Chiefs to defend all of that. And then if that's not enough, you're talking about that's trading off between Raheem Mostert and Tevin Coleman, who's pretty speedy, but obviously not on the same level as Mostert was in, about a couple weeks ago. So that seems to line up for a really high scoring game, but I do think that because of the nerves, it'll probably be slow to start. So so let me give it to you for a sec and get your evaluation of that over under. So let me, and the rest of the odds are also that the Chiefs are favored by 1 point as we speak. And the over under is 54.5 points. Now, naturally, you're going to think this is going to be an over, but do you see this hitting the over, or do you see this being a little bit lower scoring game than is projected?
I think it's going to be pretty close to that. If I had to pick, I'm probably not going to make a bet on the over-under, but I'm going to say it's going to go a tad over. So I think it'll be like maybe 56 or 57 points. But I think your call, Dave, is a good one. I think under in the first quarter, and then over in the second half.
Yeah,
like, I can definitely see what you said about. Because look at the Chiefs' first two playoff games. What they scored 0 against Houston, and then what 7 against Tennessee in the first quarter. So, and you know the Niners. I don't think they're going to come out throwing it either. I think they're just going to kind of wanting to establish the running game. So you could see that being a lower scoring pace to start, and both teams feeling each other out. And then once you see a touchdown or two, the fireworks will really go off. So I think that's actually a really good bet. I think under first quarter, and then bet the over at halftime and over in the third quarter, I think that's a good way to play it. But yeah. I think overall, I think it's going to be like maybe a 30-27 kind of game. So I would say slightly over.
Yeah, it's a good prediction. Like I think anything in that arena where like one team's in the upper 20s or even low 30s and the other team's in the 20s somewhere, that feels like that's where the score is going to end up being. Certainly, there's a chance that you'll have one of the highest scoring games in the history of the game. But for teams that like to run the ball about as much as they do, because they don't just pass the ball, like they do run, and then they run the ball pretty well, both sides do. So I don't think it's going to be a complete shootout. I do think so. What I'm saying is that I don't think we're going to end up with like that game we had with the Rams and the Chiefs way back, you know, a couple years ago where it was like over 100 points.
Well, hopefully we don't get last year's like 13-3. That was just a disaster.
It really was.
Sean McVay, offensive genius, my ass. Come on.
Yeah, that was rough. That was a rough watch. I think we can at least be assured of having a better game than that.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's pretty bad. So, yeah, okay. So you kind of have 30-27. Would that be an official prediction for you? Who do you have winning the game?
Yeah, sure. I'll say Chiefs 30-27. I think when it comes down to it, I think Mahomes will make a couple like transcendent type plays is that Garoppolo just can't make. I'm not going to say that Garoppolo is going to play poorly, but I just think Mahomes makes a couple more plays. I know it's cliche to kind of say, but I think he really makes a difference. And I think it's a close game, and the Chiefs win 30-27.
Yeah, I like that. I think in similar vein, I see the game being pretty close. And I'm going to go Chiefs 27-24. And I think that's right. Or is it 27-23? I think it was 27-23. Because what I was thinking is that they would be down like 23-20. And then like with about 5 minutes to go, a big old like, I don't know, like 50, 60-yard passing play to somebody by Mahomes to one of the receivers, whoever it is, will ice the game. And it's similar to how Gronk iced the game against the Rams last year, but in a much, much more competitive game and in a much, much more well-executed game, better coached game, better offensive game. So everybody's going to win here with this matchup. So, yeah, I like that. I think we're on the same page for the most part. We think the Chiefs will win. But, you know, I'm sure you would agree. Like, if the Niners went out and won, it wouldn't surprise me either. Like, would any outcome surprise you? Because there's, like, four different possible outcomes, right? So, like, Chiefs close win, Niners close win, Chiefs blowout, Niners blowout. Would any of those surprise you?
I think a blowout, either. Like, what do you define as blowout? Like, two touchdowns or more?
Yeah, let's say two touchdowns. Because, like, 10, that could just be, like,
yeah, 10 could be, you're right, 10 could be, like, a team up 4 or 3 and then, like, have a defensive pick 6 or something. And it's like, all right. Some team won 30-20, but it was actually really a close game. Mm-hmm. So I would say if either team wins by 2 touchdowns or more, I'd be really surprised. I think this is going to be under 10 points either way.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a one score game in the fourth quarter. So I would be very shocked if either team won by more than 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think it feels like, yeah, I mean, it just that I can't visualize. I mean, I can imagine it, but I don't. My instinct feels like it's going to end up being within at least 12 throughout the game. So that'll be good news for all of us because we've had a lot of close games lately in the Super Bowl. So that's a good thing, I think. So I wouldn't complain about it. All right, I guess that's it. There are other angles we can take on as far as this game. We'll be doing props tomorrow, but there are probably props that you already have in mind. Is there anything that comes to your mind in terms of game props?
Oh, honestly, Dave, I haven't even looked at them. I was going to take some time on Saturday just to kind of take a look at the list. I mean, there's a huge amount of props, whether it be, you know, you have your player props, you have your game props, you have the stupid specialty props like, you know, national anthem, coin toss, color of the Gatorade dumped on the winning coach, those stupid kind of things. But if you had any in mind that you want to talk about, I'd be happy to discuss, but I honestly didn't look at any.
Okay. Well, what I'll try to do is I'll try to get into some that aren't going to be covered tomorrow. So let me see. Well, one that I liked that I think would be a very interesting pretty interesting one. Let me see if I have it here. And this will be covered tomorrow, but the total yards prop. And I think the over-under is like 830. I don't have the exact number yet, but it's like 800. I wrote it down. Let me go get it. But it should be, it's like over 800 yards. So the question is, do you see that going over or under?
Wow, that's tough. 830, I would say under.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see both getting over 400. I could see like 400 and 385 or something. I don't see both getting over 400. So I would say if it's 830, I would say under. 800, that's really close. I don't know. I would stay away from that. But 830, I'd definitely say under.
Okay. I have the official total. It's the over-under is actually 780 and a half. Wow.
Okay. Well, that's a different story.
Yeah. Yeah.
That one I would say over. I think one team will get four and the other team will get at least 380.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, definitely. Let's see about rushing props, because we saw Mostert go off. I'll give you the total rushing yards. Receiving yards is kind of an odd one to bet on, but in terms of rushing, here's what we have. What do I have? Why are these receiving? Okay. What happened to it? I had it here. Oh, here we go. Okay. Who will record the most rushing yards? No, that's a dumb bet because you already know the answer. Like, they're saying who's going to have the most rushing yards between Mostert and Williams. And I feel like that's Mostert by a landslide, but he's like minus 240. So, like, everybody else thinks the same thing.
Right.
Let me see. Let me do the rushing props this way. Okay. Total rushing yards in the game by the San Francisco 49ers. The number, this is for everybody, like everybody on the team. So 137.5, over or under.
What was that? 147.5?
137.5.
I'm going to say over on that.
All right. And for the record, over is minus 110 and under is minus 120. And I'd take the over too, actually, because I feel like there'll be a lot of rushing yards in that game collectively. Okay, next. Total rushing yards in the game by the Chiefs, and naturally this number is lower. The over-under is 88.5, over is minus 130, and under is even money.
And what was this again? Williams, right?
Well, this is just the whole team. Williams is only 51.5. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, so 88.5 for the entire Chiefs team.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I'm going to say over on that.
Yeah.
I know the Niners' rushing defense is good, but, you know, if you do a trick play and someone busts one for 30 yards, then okay, then Williams just needs to get 60. I'll say over.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm being stupid with that, but I would say over.
Yeah. And the Damian Williams one is really good. Like 51.5. Like I could see that. Can't you?
Yeah, I definitely could see that.
Very good. So if you're interested, I'll give you the number for Raheem Mostert. Here we go.
Yeah, sure.
The number for him individually, 69.5 yards.
Oh, man. That's really tempting to go on over. See, I'm the sucker who says, oh, he just got 240 yards and he's up against a bad run defense. He's going to get 70 easy. But clearly Vegas knows something that we don't, because they're probably assuming Coleman and Breidlove to get some touches too. So
yeah,
maybe that's not as smart. But on the surface, you would think, oh, that's, you know, that's an easy over.
Yeah.
So I actually just pulled up the list of props. So I know you follow hockey a lot, Dave, but mm-hmm. this one just caught my eye. So total goals between the Blue Jackets and Canadiens on November, Jesus, on February 2nd, against total receptions by George Kittle. What will be higher? Now, see, to me, I would say easily, all right, George Kittle is going to get at least 5 receptions, maybe even more. He might get 7 or 8 receptions, and I don't really follow hockey until playoffs, honestly. Are those two teams, like, just horrible on defense, giving up goals to offer that prop? Because that seems like an easy one to take Kittle for me. And honestly, okay, a hockey game easily could be 3-0 and or 2-0, and Kittle's going to beat that easily.
Right. Nowadays, games tend to be about six goals a game, you know, collectively. I'll give you some defensive numbers as far as the two teams in question. So you mentioned the Canadians were one of them. Montreal, in terms of goals against average, is 2.94 goals a game. And it's not that bad. It's like, it's not that good, but it's also not that bad. It's like ranked about, let's see, league average and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So yeah, they're probably like 20th or 21st in goals allowed. So it's not good, but it's also not terrible. And then who was the other team? Columbus. So Columbus.
Yeah.
Columbus is a great defense. They're one of the best, like the best defensive teams in the NHL right now are like Dallas, Columbus, Arizona. That's one I've noticed is, you know, being really tough. And certainly the Blues have been pretty good. Not as dominant as the other ones, but I think that game's probably going to have about 5 goals. Like just gun to my head, I think that's going to be a 5 goal game. So your question basically is Kittle going to have that many catches? I would think so. I think it'd be at worst that it would be even. So I too would take it. But the one thing I worried about is that Kittle's been pretty quiet the last couple of weeks, and
yeah,
I'm not really sure if he's that healthy. So that's where I'm a little concerned about it.
Now here's another good one. I'm just looking at the same page, cross sport props. So what will be higher? Total number of roughing passer penalties in the Super Bowl or holes in one at the Phoenix Open for the 4 days. Now, isn't that a good one?
That's a great one because you know they're going to be at least like 2. It's on...
Well, roughing the passer penalties, right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, I would say on average in a golf tournament, there's at least 1 hole in one every mm-hmm. week.
Right.
So usually no more than 2 at the most.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a very good chance there's 0, but I'd say there's going to be at least 1. So you got to figure, is there going to be more than 1 or 2 roughing the passer penalties? So that's an interesting one to think about.
Yeah, that is. And that's like both sides too, right? So it's both teams. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You could see that. I could see that. You're definitely going to see 1 on the Niners. They tend to get caught for penalties like that. I also saw one that was like, who's going to be the first team to get a pass interference call, and I thought that was an interesting prop too, but I didn't include it in our list for tomorrow. If you were to, like, under your head, which team do you think will get the pass interference call first?
Oh man, that's tough. Well, because Shanahan, you saw this clip of him, like, right before a third down play, he was talking to the refs about how they were going to hold George Kittle, and you know, then they throw the flag down, and it really wasn't a hold. So maybe he's working the reps, but you figure the Chiefs are going to be throwing it more, and they kind of throw more downfield. I would say the Chiefs would get the first one, if I had to guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I can see that. Like, it feels like a coin flip to me. I would have said 49ers, but it also depends on who has the ball first, too. Like, if the Niners get the ball first, and they just try to chuck one downfield just to start the game, just to challenge the DBs, and the DBs get burnt, so they have to go in and kind of grab the guy just to keep the ball from becoming a touchdown pass. You know, that there you go, there's your pass interference. So it's literally a coin flip, which is what makes that a very good bet. Yeah, that's a good one. Do you have a feel for what the? Oh, I mean that was my bet, so I should go look that up myself. But I think it was pretty even. Like, at worst, it would have been like 120, 110 in terms of the
right.
Juice. So, okay. So, let's see. Total number
there's some really interesting ones.
Yeah.
Let me know. Go ahead.
Well, let me just throw this one out really quickly. total number of Chiefs to have a rushing attempt. And the over-under is 4.5. Yeah, that's interesting.
All right, so you got Williams for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Who's even their backup running back? I don't even know. That's pretty sad.
They have Darwin Thompson.
Okay, yeah, they're right. Darwin Thompson, and then
and then after that, I don't know.
Right, exactly. I know he's from Utah State. I don't know the other guy's name that they bring. Is it no? Spencer Ware's been long gone. He's not there anymore.
Yeah.
McCoy, is he even active?
Great question. That is a really good question. Maybe they bring him
active,
back. Yeah.
Right. If he's active, he'll get a couple carries. So you figure Williams for sure. They're not going to use. There's definitely going to be another running back to get a carry, whether it be him or McCoy. And now if McCoy's active, I think you could forget about Darwin Thompson. So there's going to be at least two running backs to carry. You know, same Mahomes scrambles for avoids a sack and scrambles for 2 yards. I mean, that counts as a carry, right?
Right.
But then essentially it's down to, are they going to do some sort of like jet motion play where like they hand it off to Hill to get a rush? So you've got to figure they're going to put at least one of those plays in their playbook. So I'm going to say over on that.
Yeah, I could, you know, there's a chance at this. There is. Like we mentioned, Mahomes can do one of them, and we know Williams will have a few, and then if McCoy is active, and that is up in the air, I just looked it up. This has not been confirmed or denied, so he could play in this game, which is a really big. That's a really big story. That's a big wrinkle because he was the guy at the beginning of the season, and because he got hurt, they had to come up with alternate options. So, fascinating question. So. Okay, any others that you had on the board?
I mean, some of these are just ridiculous. Like, I don't know what site you're using, Dave. I'm just looking on Bovada. Mm-hmm. But it's like, what will happen to the price of Bitcoin during the Super Bowl? Like, first off, who cares? Like, what happens to the price of Bitcoin during the Super Bowl? Like, does anyone really care? Like, why is that a prop bet? That's like asking what's the price of Microsoft going to be at the end of the Super Bowl? Like, no one cares. That's just stupid. Here we go. What will be the case on February 2nd, 2020 at the S&P 500 market close? Oh, my God.
That's
ridiculous.
Oh.
I mean, I don't know. And then, of course, the obligatory how many Trump tweets during Super Bowl Sunday. The over-under is set at 13.5.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually going to say under on that because I think he's going to shut up. He'll do his tweeting early in the day, and then he won't say anything the rest of the day. So you just have to avoid that morning tweet storm. And then I think if you can avoid that in the morning, I think that's going to be an under.
Yeah. It's smart that they say how many does he do during the day, because trying to pinpoint like the period.
Right. Like during the game, it'd be an easy under. I don't think he would tweet during the game. It's just when he's watching the TV in the morning, when he starts firing off his tweets. I think that's why they said during the on February 2nd. They don't say during the game.
So I think they played that out pretty well. And that tweet, that prop, by the way, has jumped the shark. Like I used to give a shit.
Exactly. That was funny the first year. Now it's just kind of sad to look at it, honestly. Then you got your normal, you know, the Gatorade color, national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
Will Dave Portnoy get kicked out of the Super Bowl? That is a good one. Oh, my
God.
Yeah,
I remember that one from last year, too. It's a good one. That is a good one.
That's funny. I mean, they definitely went big with these props this year. That's for sure.
Yep. We'll cover some of those tomorrow as well. But one of the dumbest ones is like the one where the halftime ones are just ridiculous. It's like, will Mark Anthony make it?
Right now.
Will Smith make the halftime show? Will Gloria Estefan make the... I'm like, really? Like, who would keep track of that? Like, whatever.
That's right. It's just interesting to see some of the odds on it. Like, will DJ Khaled make an appearance during the halftime show? Like, this one specifically is 1+175 versus -260, as opposed to will Enrique Iglesias make an appearance is +500.
Right.
And no, is -900. Like, what's the difference between like those odds? Like, you know, like I don't understand that. Shouldn't those both be the same? I don't know.
Well, just, no, I mean, I like, would only add
why does
that
one have a slightly better chance of happening than the other?
I know, it's pretty silly. Like, and If we were more up on like pop music, we would have a better idea of what's going on with that. But it is that.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Right.
Right. So pretty funny though, either way. So we'll see if some Mongos go after it. The one that there's one on there that you'll see near the bottom. The size of the bet that Floyd Mayweather makes during the game. I have not seen one of those in a few years. So I'm not even sure if that's even worth gambling on because I don't even remember what he bet on it last year or the year before. So I'm not even sure if he's even publishing those anymore.
Yeah, I haven't seen him. I haven't seen anything like that in a while. So I think you're right about that.
Yeah. So, okay, very good. So let's. So what's your plan for the Super Bowl this year?
Oh, nothing major. Just with some family and a few friends. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't do the whole big Mongo Super Bowl party. Just like can't do that. So it'll just be low key, but it'll be fun. And you know, we have to do the usual, you know, appetizers and you know, beer and all the good stuff. So
yeah.
But see, that's the one problem. Like you can enjoy some adult beverages, but you can't go too hard because you got to work on Monday, which. Who wants to go to work at 8 o'clock with a hangover after the Super Bowl? I certainly don't.
Yeah.
So that's the one thing. They either should make Super Bowl Monday like a holiday, or just like do it on Saturday night. Like me and a coworker were talking about that. Do you really think the Super Bowl would lose a lot of ratings if they played it on like Saturday at 8 o'clock? I mean, I don't.
That's a great question. Yeah, I mean, I would have zero issue with it. It would not take enough of a hit for them to, you know what I mean? Like, I think maybe it takes a little hit, but
right,
it's not
maybe
enough.
A little bit, but I just think overall for the economy, it would be better. Like people would be going out and spending more money watching the game out and like having a party out rather than inside their house. Number one, I don't know. And I think it's just more so at this point for the tradition.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's super, you know, Super Bowl Sunday. It's been that way for 54 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a staple that they're probably never going to change. And I understand that, but I think it might be better if they, at least how it's currently situated, if they do the new CBA that they're talking about, where they add, I think two more, they would add an extra game. So every team would have 17 games, but they would play it over 20 weeks, I think, or 19 weeks. Like every team would get two bye weeks. So that would push it back towards President's Day, and that's a national holiday. So that you could see that scenario where the Super Bowl on that weekend would make sense on a Sunday because, you know, 90% of people are working on President's Day. Didn't Francesa talk about that for a number of years? It's kind of coming all back now.
You always
talked about putting the Super Bowl on President's Day weekend.
It's close enough where I think they can do it now. I would be completely in favor of that. That is actually probably the best idea there is. I like the Saturday idea too, though. I have no problem with that. I think it just resolves a lot of issues like drunk driving and so on. Like maybe there'd be a little, I don't know if necessarily less of that, but maybe more people wouldn't be trying to drive a long distance with such a short turnaround and then go to work the next day. Yeah, that's
right.
Tough. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you have to be aware of that. It's like, oh my God. All right. The second half starting. I can't really drink that much right now because I have to go to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, you know, and people like to call in sick anyway. I imagine after, you know, the first 2 days of the NCAA tournament, I would imagine the Super Bowl is like the next day where most people call in sick to work, or the day after the Super Bowl, rather.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because they don't, you know, they don't want to deal with it. But yeah, I would be fine with the Saturday night too. But I just don't think it'll ever happen, just because of a variety of things that we talked about. But well, here's another question for you: do you think they'll ever have a Super Bowl in London or like Mexico or somewhere like that?
I mean, I was just looking at how they were talking about Toronto as a potential NFL city. So I think they will have one outside of the continental United States at some point. What I don't know yet is whether that's going to be Mexico City, whether that's going to be Toronto or something like that, or maybe even British Columbia in a really weird example, but I would say yeah. I think eventually, I think they'll do one there because they've run out of cities, I think. And
yeah, exactly. Well, you know what? I saw today that Vegas is almost a shoe-in for a Super Bowl.
I can see that.
The new stadium.
Yeah.
Now that talk about a party, and talk about like wanting to be in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the best trip ever, being out there when the Super Bowl is there.
Mm.
I mean, that's just crazy. I think that's a great idea.
I love that.
In Vegas, I love it too. But that's sort of the international scenario. I definitely think that they'll have one outside the country at some point.
Yeah,
I'm not going to say like within the next 10 years, but I think within our lifetime they'll have one.
Yep.
Whether it be in London or Canada or wherever, I don't know. And, you know, that'll go in conjunction with, I'm sure they're going to expand to other countries at some point, like franchises too. But
yeah,
so that'll kind of go hand in hand with that. I guess what they were talking about with the new CBA, I don't know if you saw this, but so, you know, you would have your 8 home games, your 8 away games, and the extra game would be a neutral site game. So every team would play a neutral site game. That would be their 17th game. And then they would play it in you know, overseas or wherever. So you would play in, you know, Mexico and Canada and London and Asia and all sorts of different places. That would be the 17th game. Or they can even play it like in famous college stadiums. Like you could play at Notre Dame Stadium, or you can play at you would play at the Big House or stuff like that, which is actually pretty cool.
Yeah,
to have a neutral site game at one of those places. And then you would, and then a TV network would get that specific package of games. Of course, this is all about revenue. So they would sell that, all those neutral site games, to a TV provider, and that's how they would get revenue. It's actually a pretty cool idea. I know the players are against it from what I've heard, but I think if they cut down the preseason, which is in the proposed idea, so if they cut down the preseason, add this extra game, and then add like a bye week, so that the players get 2 bye weeks, I think that's something that they hopefully would go for. I think the idea of every team playing a neutral site game is pretty cool, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean it's tough. I mean, adding games is always risky because you're gonna have more wear and tear. Games, it'll take longer for people to warm up into the season, bigger risk of injuries. But just the idea of having a neutral site game, I'd be fine with it. I mean, we're already doing it, right? Like, we've already got our three London games, and we're gonna have our Mexico game for the next two years, and it's like, if we're doing this anyway, we may as well just make it a permanent part of the schedule.
Right, exactly. Just, and you know, of course, the NFL, everything will be bigger and flashy, and might as well have everyone do it. I mean, as of now, I mean, you know, the Jaguars are losing a home game. I mean, so what?
yeah.
I'm sure they would want to have some revenue from another home game that they're losing. I mean,
yeah,
they don't have a ton of fans there that's selling out, but still, I mean, like, the teams don't have to give up a home game, and they could go all sorts of exotic places, and I think it'd be pretty cool. And it's an extra 2 more weeks of football that we all get to enjoy. So
yeah,
I'm all for it.
I'm with it. Let's see. I guess that's it. I mean, I did want to dig into some of that a little bit further, but I will let you go because we're getting close to the end of our session. So enjoy the game, John. It's been fun to chat with you, and I look forward to future podcasts with you and Mike coming up. And all the best, and hopefully all your scenarios go well in terms of what you wager against, you know, with the games and the props. Should be a good time. So till then, thanks, John. Have a good one, and we'll enjoy the game.
All right, Dave. Thanks for having me on, and yeah, enjoy the game as well. We'll look forward to talking to you for some golf in a couple months. We'll look forward to that. So mm-hmm. Have a good night, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, take care. All right, buddy.
All right, see ya.
That's John in Connecticut. That's our program tonight. And our shout out to everybody else on our Football Picks panel, Ron and Andy. They were under the weather, so they could not make it tonight. We wish them a good, speedy recovery, and hopefully they'll be better in short order. I am Dave Medina. You can catch us on Twitter at DidCow, on the web at DidCow.com, and on Apple Podcasts, look for Dave in the City Out West. Part 1 of 3, part 2 coming up shortly on the feed. We'll see you next time.